You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 17 September. Local August inflation data due 10 a.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments. High prop results. I was going to say good dividend, good almost everything. And then Lipstar results, but turns out everyone wants to buy them. Craig Gradage from Gradage Mahura Investments. Deep discount currently offered by the Vodacom BEE scheme, Yebo Yetu. And then Petli Raden, Sirenia Capital Advisors. Gold. We chatted with them almost 2 months ago around it. I suppose the question is, I mean, how high can it go? Do we just hold it? Just stop worrying about it and hold it. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning Handladen's MoneyWeb rooftop solar, now at 7.3 gigawatts, overtakes all Eskom's IPP capacity. Installed base up 23% over the past year. Bloomberg process doubles stake in India's urban company ahead of $1.8 billion IPO. That IPO is today and was 100 times oversubscribed. Morning markets, US was red, S&P and NASDAQ both off 0.1%. The East is mixed. We got Sydney and Tokyo both down 0.2%, Hong Kong up 1.3%, and Tencent stronger at 2.2% higher. Commodities mostly red, gold futures a dollar lower, 3,718. Brent is green at 68.36. Platinum, PGMs weaker, platinum 1,400 and palladium 1,210. The rand is 17.37. Bitcoin 116,600 and top 40 opening call at green open 200 points 0.2% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. High prop results. Just so much to like about it. A dividend up 9.9%. Loan to values lower. Positive rental reversions. Tenant turnover looking good. And of course, they got a chunk of money from the 50% sale of Hyde Park. I mean, your thoughts. I mean, I really scratched around and couldn't find anything not to like about this. Although the market was perhaps a bit sanguine.
I think the market was a little bit uncertain over whether or not to like this, because we're so used to not liking high props results. And we're also used to being very cautious when it comes to the property sector. I think we were all very much burnt after the massive rally started unwinding in 2017. Mm. And we saw fundamentals come under a lot of pressure, particularly in the office space post-COVID. Retail wasn't really firing properly. And we didn't have that really nice logistics kind of tailwind. But what we are seeing now is that there's been a notable improvement in property fundamentals. And you can see that across the board. We saw it in Growthpoint's results last week. Yep. We saw it in Attac's results yesterday as well. And very encouragingly, demand for property is picking up across the board. So we are seeing those positive reversions coming through. And with reversions, we mean that when someone is signing a new lease, they are signing the new lease at a higher rental rate, or a new rental is higher than mm-hmm. what the previous exiting rental was. Because for years, that was negative, and that was a massive drag on distributions.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, there's almost a sense we need to sort of rethink property. In 2017, 2018, it all went crazy. It's been ugly for a long time, but it had a really good run last year, and this year is, we're getting some really good numbers out. Lipstar, the results in of themselves weren't bad at all. I mean, revenue up 6.7%, HEPS up 15.4%, normalized HEPS as they refer to it. And then, of course, the mention that they've got offers, received non-binding expression of interests from parties. So multiple, or at least two, I suppose. Lipstar, I mean, you're taking the numbers, and certainly someone out there or some bodies out there think that this stock is offering really good value. And this one did jump yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, value it does offer. If you look at the PE, the forward PE, even after the rally yesterday at 6.3 times. So that came from a forward P of 5 times, right? So there's substantial value that is trapped in this business. And I think management recognizes that as well. This is why they are actually simplifying the structure. They're getting rid of loss-making businesses. They're really trying their best to clean up the portfolio while also pushing growth in areas where they have a competitive advantage. So there's loads more to come here. And I think that the parties that have made their expressions of interest see that as well. I'd be quite disappointed if the company gets taken out. I think that this company is very well positioned. It's an interesting play within the food services and food production kind of segment of the market. And another cheap stock being taken over. It almost feels like we've been talking about this for several years, because when I saw this, I immediately thought about Pioneer Foods. Also, just perpetually cheap. Someone's going to buy it.
And I take your point on food services as well. I mean, we saw Premier yesterday with a really good update. We've seen Tiger Brands absolutely flying over the last year or so. Food producers, maybe a bit like property. They've kind of come to the party in the last year or so.
Yeah, so I think that they've really rationalized what they are doing. They're really focusing on what they are good at, each one of them individually. I think at one point, the guys were trying to overcomplicate matters a little bit. I always use the example of Oros flavored Super C's. It's just not necessary, right? So I think the product sets have been rationalized. The focus is there. And I think that we can expect good things from the sector, particularly if they continue in this vein.
Yeah, and hopefully if they remain listed. I take your point. We don't want to lose these stocks. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Craig Gradage, Gradage Mahura Investments. Craig, appreciate the time. You and I were on a LeaderX panel last week. You needed to pick a stock. You did. You picked Yebo Yetu, which is not one I know much about, and I'm going to blame because I'm not eligible for it. But this is essentially the Vodacom BEE scheme. And unlike the MTN one, this one's doing really well and offering great value.
Yes, good day, Simon, and good day to the listeners as well. Yeah, so the Vodacom Yebo Yetu deal, it's currently like MTN. MTN had a first deal, Zakhele, and then it had Zakhele Futhi. Mm-hmm. Vodacom had a first deal, Yebo Yetu, which was invested in Vodacom South Africa. That deal matured, and then they rolled over, and they still called it Vodacom. I mean, Yebo Yetu, they still called it Yebo Yetu. However, they then... the underlying investment was into listed Vodacom shares. And that was in 2018, the second deal, the current version of Yebo Yetu. There's 3 years to go on the funding period. However, like Putumanati, it's an evergreen scheme. So it's just the funding period ends in 2028.
And the funding obviously is coming from the dividends from that it receives from Vodacom. And there is sufficient, because my data, and I'm not sure if it's correct, shows that it's actually paying a dividend. So is it able to pay the debt and give some dividend to shareholders?
Yes. So it's got similar to MTN. It's got pref share funding and some vendor funding as well. So funding roughly about 9.1 billion. Mm-hmm. At the moment, there's a deferred tax liability. So the Vodacom shares that were bought for the deal, there's been some capital growth. And so there'd be a capital gains tax on that. So total liability is sitting roughly at 10.5 billion. Yebo Yetu owns 114 million Vodacom shares. Mm-hmm. At the current spot price of 132.50, you're looking at a value of those Vodacom shares of around 15 billion.
So quite a chunky discount to the actual value of Vodacom. And of course, the Vodacom shares change, but at current price points, a fairly chunky discount.
Yes. So if you take it, there are 52 million Yebo Yetu shares in issue, short of 53 million. So when you do a NAV per share, you come out at about 88 rand a share. Because, as you mentioned, you're not eligible to invest in these shares. A lot of people not eligible to invest in these shares. A lot of institutional investors not eligible to invest. So one would have to add a liquidity discount to the net asset value. So typically 25 to 30%. If we take the top end of that range at 30%, then fair value should be around 62 rand a share. It currently trades at 37 rand a share. So a 40% discount to fair value, which I think is quite wide. It's roughly, I don't know, another 50-odd percent, 60% discount to NAV. So yeah, offering, looking quite attractive on that basis, noting that Vodacom's dividends, we've seen a sort of a reversal, dividends are starting to increase again.
Yeah.
With the revised dividend policy that they instituted a few years ago. And we've got interest rates coming down.
Of course, so that makes their debt cheaper.
That makes the cost of the debt cheaper. So you've got rising dividends, lowering cost. So perhaps they can settle a bit more debt in the next 3 years than they have been in the last 3 years, where interest rates were high and dividends were lower. That situation's now flipped. So the outlook's a lot better. And yeah, Vodacom, you know, the one of the sort of big concerns around Vodacom has been the please call me saga. The last sort of court ruling seemed to rule in favor of Vodacom, you know, with the Constitutional Court sending it back to the Supreme Court to get, and with a differently constituted panel of judges to hear the case again. And they ordered that Makati had to cover the legal costs for the Constitutional Court proceedings. So, yeah, that, you know, gives investors perhaps a little bit more hope that, you know, that liability will not be as in the billions as has been claimed. So, yeah, hopefully some of those headwinds disappear and we see the Vodacom share price increasing.
It trades in the JSE, which makes it nice and easily accessible. You said evergreen, so in 3 years the funding is done. I mean, in essence, is it then up to the Yebo Yetu shareholders as to whether they wrap it up, whether they leave it on the JSE, whether they, because you could wrap it up by getting Vodacom shares, you could wrap it up by selling the shares and getting cash. Is that then up to the Yebo Yetu shareholders?
It may be up to the discretion of the board
To
propose, and then shareholders would vote on that. But I suspect that the idea would be to keep it as an empowerment vehicle. It owns roughly 6% of Vodacom. So ideally, they would want that number to be as high as possible. If you keep it as Yebo Yetu, then you kind of have a consistent kind of black shareholder at a certain level post the funding. I suspect that they would let it run just like Putumanati and Cecil Solby one.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. The share code YYLBEE on the JSE. Craig Gradage, Gradage Mohura Investments, appreciate the time. Let your money weather the storms with StanLib Asset Management. Invest in the StanLib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Petri Rodenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the early morning. You and I chatted, I was going to say 2 months ago. It actually was probably closer to about 6 weeks ago. We were talking gold. Back then it was kind of going sideways. It was kind of trading around 3,200. It's now some 10% higher. I suppose my first question is, we keep on sort of delving in and looking at the nuances. Is gold just not perhaps in a space where kind of just close your eyes and hold some, because the trend is very firm and I don't see anything breaking it anytime soon?
Good morning, Sai. So, well, yes, I think we spoke last around a big technical level that gold was stuck under. That was 3,300. And when it eventually breaks up through here, you know, it's going to fly. So, well, it's done that.
Yeah.
The question is, how much further does it go technically? So, from a technical analysis perspective, a comfortable target is 3,800. But beyond that, I don't know. There's no resistance here, right? This is uncharted territory. Gold has essentially just a very strong trend behind it. So, the question is more around You know, where do you buy it so that you don't buy it right before it pulls back 10%? So I guess the question is also like, you know, if you buy it now, what is your time horizon? Are you buying it because you're chasing the trade that you want to, you know, make some leveraged money? Or mm-hmm. are you happy to buy a position here and be in it for a very long time? So, for example, take platinum, which isn't quite gold, but if you compare the two, you know, if platinum plays a little bit of catch up, there's potentially huge upside in some of the platinum stocks. Valterra, for example, is one of our preferred stocks in the space. So right now, Valterra is kind of knocking on the door of the highs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so do you buy it here? Well, for two reasons, yes, because it could potentially break out and have a zero resistance type rally like we're seeing with gold now, number one. And number two, if you're happy to hold it for the next sort of 3 to 5 years, then yeah, sure, now's a great time to buy it. But if you're only wanting to take it for the next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe wait for a technical setup, right? So the same thing is kind of applicable on gold here, right? If you're only wanting to be in it because it's running really hard, either wait for a fundamental catalyst to give you a signal, or wait for a high probability entry point, like another break of resistance or something like that. So we could say technically 2 days ago, gold gave that break of resistance entry again.
Mm-hmm.
And we could kind of jump in and follow it even higher. But this evening, or later this afternoon, let me say rather, we have the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee out of the U.S., making an interest rate decision. So mostly the market is expecting a 25 basis points cut. Something outside of that expectation could probably get the gold price moving a little bit. So, sure, I think that's the longest way I've ever said I don't know.
No, but I like I like what your response was there, which was think about what you're trying to achieve with it. And perhaps that's what we often miss in it. We can look at charts. We can look at the big story. We can look at the fundamentals, central bankers buy-in, dollar weakness and all of that. But where and when to buy should be informed by what your thinking is. If you're a 5-10 year holder of gold, $50-$100, not so important. If you're looking for a trade, That's a massive difference.
Yeah, because one is leveraged and the other is not, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that this is something that traders, none of us like to admit it, but the only way that we're making money off like a 1% share price movement is leverage, right? So we play a dangerous game. As where if you're a longer-term sort of investor that you're happy to hold the stuff for a couple of years, odds are you're not leveraged, right? So then... Yeah. Like to your point, whether it's 3,700 or 3,500 or whatever is hardly relevant, right? Because over the next couple of years, it's going to rally 50%. I mean, it's done 10% in 6 weeks. So,
yeah.
Let's say over 5 years, the share price runs 50% or 60%, or in some of these platinum stocks cases, will multiply 2 or 3 times. I mean, I remember, it was a decade ago now, but Impala did 350% in a year, right? So a run like that on a non-leveraged position, that's fine. You can sit that out. But on a leveraged position, you'd think, I will make so much money if the stock price, triples in a year. But at the same time, if it moves down 10%, you've blown your account, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is that distinction. Quick last question then. You said you like Valterra. What's your preferred gold miner? Because if you want the leverage, one way of doing it is not with derivatives, but with the miner, who of course are, they're ATMs right now. What's your preferred gold miner?
So we like Anglo Gold. That's the one that we hold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It has been for a long time also, to be honest. I think we've spoken about this over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because you have that sort of overhang and that potential call option situation. Someone might want to buy it out or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that we like.
Yeah, and there has been a re-rating. They've been working hard on that, but the last set of results, management was talking around the re-rating. AngloGold, Ashanti, also the one I hold. Petri Redden, hey, Serenia Capital Advisors, appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Still bullish gold? We've asked this question a lot of times over the years, but I mean, to be clear, in a little under 2 years, gold has doubled. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Kian Nyana from Scope Prime, talking those strong outsurance numbers. The stock was up 7% on the day. The question to you, is this a good investment? Half of you said, yep, great opportunity. Just under a third says it's looking expensive. The rest were saying insurance is just too risky for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, MPC Review.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.